KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Bill Radke. It's been more than a year now since Seattle's mayor declared homelessness an emergency. He's asking for more money now to solve the problem, a new tax on the city's property owners, and you want to know, what would that money buy? Is it money well spent? Mayor Ed Murray, welcome to you.
Welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. We're going to open the phones so people can ask you a question at 206-543-5869. Again, 206-543-5869. The city has budgeted $60 million toward homeless services this year. You would like voters to approve another $275 million over 5 years with this property tax levy. And Brian asks on Facebook, your homeless plan is putting even more money into existing programs. How does, these are his words, how does throwing even more money at the same programs fix things?
Well, it's a good point, and we're not. So we're reforming our system. We are rebidding all of the contracts for the first time in a decade. We had outside experts come in and tell us what we needed to do right, what we needed to do differently. We're moving to 24-hour shelters instead of shelters that push people out on the streets. We're moving on to a plan that approaches people as individuals with the navigation teams that are multidisciplinary that are out there. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And with the new money, we're buying into services that the city doesn't currently do. 5,000 additional treatment slots for folks who are addiction and mental health is a major driver of homelessness. The state is not stepping up. The county is not stepping up. The federal government has said they are going to slash HUD, the housing urban development money for our affordable housing, dramatically. So regrettably, I'm asking the voters for a tax that will result in about a $13 a month increase on their property taxes. Would I like to do something else? Yes, but I believe we don't have any other choice. No one else is going to come and help us.
So the spirit behind Brian's question about doing more of the same when he doesn't seem to think that what we're doing is working, why could there be some way to show more progress to voters first and then say, look how great we're doing, let's pay for more of that?
Well, the problem is it's growing exponentially. And if you look at the young girls who are being sex trafficked, if you look at the toddlers who are finding in homeless encampments, if you look at the number of people who we move and they ask for addiction treatment services, they can't wait. We're reforming the system. I'm the one who came in and said, this system is not working. We're taking those steps. We're changing how we do business. But there is a little bit of a confusion here, I think, on the part of people. When I declared a state of emergency, I said we need to do things differently, but we also need additional money. And I believe that money should come from the federal government. Regrettably, I've had to concede that money is not coming from the federal government. And if we don't act, the problem will only continue to grow.
You hired a consultant, Barbara Poppy, who said, we believe homelessness in King County can be dramatically reduced using existing resources. Do you agree, or are you talking about two different things?
No, absolutely I agree. And that's why we put Pathways Home in place. But that's why we also believe that we need to do other things that the city hasn't done. The county does mental health and addiction treatment. They're not putting new money into that. They have a very tough financial model. So it's really the city that's going to have to step up and pay for those slots for folks who are desperately, desperately addicted or mentally ill and not being treated. And remember, we're about number 40th in the nation on what we spend on mental health and addiction treatment. So you kind of see the results.
We're taking your phone call for Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. The number 206-543-5869, 543-5869. And we have a question from Joseph in Seattle. Welcome, Joseph.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is, you know, I understand your compassion for helping the homeless, but, you know, every tax increase that you use to benefit a group hurts a group. And for seniors, okay, we are getting squeezed. We last year had a tax to increase the number of buses for King County. We had the RTA, Sound Transit thing that increased our property taxes. Okay, I live in Ballard, and we just got assessed for a BIA, this year our Medicare premiums have gone up. So we're getting strapped here. If you're going, you know, property taxes can't be the solve-all for all fiscal problems. you got to do something to think about people who are on fixed incomes, limited incomes, okay, and then own homes.
Okay, well, thank you for that question. I think that we need to remember that we live in the world of Tim Eymann's initiatives. And when Tim Eymann collapsed the ability of local governments to raise revenue in the usual way, the only option we have is to go out and raise taxes. This is a city that voted against those initiatives by a significant amount of money. There would be more property tax flowing into the city and the county if that wasn't in place. So every time we need to do something, we now go to the voters. We've really focused on the issue of affordability. Next to the house, the second biggest expense someone has is transportation. That's why we did the biggest increase in bus transit in the city's history. That's why we doubled the amount of money we're spending on affordable housing. That's how you get an affordable city. And again, regrettably, we only have regressive taxes that are available to the city, not my first choice. But I also think it's important to remember that Seattle sits, of the 39 King County cities, we sit in the middle of those cities as far as our tax load. And there are parts of unincorporated King County, if they incorporated into the city, their taxes would go down. Nationally, we're the 18th largest city, and we rate about number 47 in our tax load. I know it doesn't make it easier because of the type of taxes we have.
Joseph, are you asking for a tax on, for example, businesses instead of another property tax?
Absolutely. Because, again, for seniors, okay, you might have another group that will become homeless if we continue. We'd have to sell our homes, okay, because I'm telling you, Mayor Murray, okay, the other cost to live, okay, deplete what limited revenues we get in a household. And so you have to think about that.
Well, Mayor, what about a tax on business instead?
We do think about it. One of the challenges we face under state law is we don't have what's called split roll. So we can only tax property as a whole. It's worth pointing out that 40% plus of this property tax will be on commercial development. If you look at other cities, some which have a higher tax load, they have a more progressive tax approach because they have things like income tax, capital gains tax, the sorts of instruments we lack. Let me also remind folks that we're aggressively signing people up for a pretty good tax credit that goes towards seniors, that we have literally double the number of people who qualify for the lowest utility rates, again, to help things more affordable. But I also know seniors need buses and they need transit. And yeah, we raise taxes for that, but it makes a difference in people's lives, particularly those who can no longer drive.
Mayor, we're talking with Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, who's taking your calls, 543-5869. If homelessness is an emergency, why not spend money on it and then ask the voters if they want to refill your coffers with a non-emergency tax increase?
Well, so we're at our limit of what's available to spend on homelessness, and we have to make a choice. Again, when I declared the state of emergency, I declared it because if there was an earthquake and we had thousands of people homeless in this city and people dying on our streets, the federal government would step up and be our partner. The federal government has slashed literally two-thirds of the money that used to come to cities and counties.
So if voters say no, if they were to say no to the levy, does that mean what happens to homelessness services? Does that mean it doesn't happen?
It doesn't happen. I mean, there isn't anywhere else to turn. And okay, as it is, revenue in Seattle right now is 25% of it is based on construction. This construction cycle will not last forever. Mm. And so, again, it's not the first choice I would make, but I don't believe that we can simply allow people to die on our streets. People who are from here, despite this myth and despite this derogatory term about Freeattle, we can't let people die in the street, and we also need to expand this conversation. The thing I hear from suburban mayors more than any other issue is a growing homeless in suburban King County, suburban Snohomish County, in Vancouver, Washington, in Olympia, in Grays Harbor County. We need to realize that something dramatic has happened in this country, and we need to address it.
So are you saying you don't believe the theory? This is also a Facebook question from Brian. Is there any plan to address the reality that Seattle seems to have become a destination for homeless populations from other places? Do you think that's a myth?
So we had an independent study done from an organization outside of down in California. They identified about 70% of the people are here. As you know, this is a place where most people aren't from here. I'm kind of unusual in that I'm from here, but my whole life, most people aren't from here. So I don't know how you sort that question out. But is that why people are flocking who are homeless to Olympia? Is that why the Starbucks in Spokane I was in a couple of weekends ago, half the folks in it were homeless? Is that why Olympia is being overrun on their state right away? Are they offering our services? Homelessness increased in Seattle by the last count 5%, in suburban King County by 19%. Seattle is a derogatory confusion of the issue that is out there.
Let's take a phone call from Tanya in Seattle for Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. Tanya, what's your question?
Well, my question has to do maybe more specifically about the encampments and addressing things on a shorter term basis. I am not going to go on about navigation centers, and we might be waiting for till Christmas for that. But on an immediate basis, I spend time on Sundays at the encampment at Rainier Avenue and I-90, and it's a transient population to some degree, but it's also just the piles of trash that have been bagged up. I mean, I feel like can we find some parking lot somewhere so they're not living on a muddy hillside? And what can we do in the short term to address the issues of these two or three people along the freeway, up to 40 people probably at Rainier and I-90?
Right. So really, really good question. And you also, since you go in those encampments, you know something else the studies show, that 41% of the folks who live in those unauthorized encampments have some kind of job and still can't afford to find housing. Now, what we were told in the study is that Seattle spends too much on its shelter system, and its shelter system is not moving people out. In other words, shelter should be quick and short, and you should move people out, but it doesn't. That where you need to spend the money is rapidly moving people into housing, and those who are addicted and or mentally ill, rapidly moving them into housing and into services. That way you clear up your shelter system, can get more people off the streets. The navigation teams I mentioned are an interdisciplinary teams that have just started going out there, sorting out people individually, working with them on their property. We're increasing the amount of money we do on the cleanups. The old way was just to what are called sweeps, which we actually don't do, which is one way you can clean it up, but it comes back or goes somewhere else. And we found by individually approaching people, finding out what the person's problem is, you know, as we find out one person is a victim of domestic violence, another person has mental illness, another person has two cats, and taking care of those individually, we believe that will result in a significant reduction of homelessness. I need to add one other thing, though. There are folks who are involved in crime who are using the homeless crisis as a way to hide. And the biggest victims are the homeless. So we also, as we're getting people treatment for mental health, we also need to act on those who are involved in crime.
Tanya, does that answer your question
before we move on? In the short term around sanitation at the I-90 Rainier one,
we're moving on these as quickly as we can. We just cleaned up a situation last week. We're moving on those others where there's huge public health crises, where there's garbage. But the most important way to move people is to get them services. The camp that was sometimes called the field that was cleaned up recently, you know, we had people in tents drinking donuts and coffee who were homeless, and we got 19 out of the 37 who took services. That's the highest ever, and I think that's the appropriate approach. It's going in individually, then cleaning it up, not doing sweeps and not just putting up dumpsters.
So you're saying, Ben on Facebook, who asks, why are we sweeping hundreds from homeless encampments before hundreds more tiny houses are built at new encampments and before shelters add hundreds of new beds? Where do you expect these people to go until we add new safe shelters for them?
So again, you know, I realize this is a great slogan. I encourage people to look back on some of the TV clips from the 1990s and look at what a sweep looks like. What we do is we go in, we offer services, we connect with people. Let me give it the jungle as an example. About 80 of the 300 people down there took services. We contacted everyone 37 times.
So there are enough places to go? So, that's what he's asking.
Yeah. Yes.
There
are. The problem is there are not enough places. Let's assume the number, just for the sake of conversation, is 3,000 today who are unsheltered. There are not enough places today, but we are not moving on everyone today. We are moving particularly in those areas that are a significant danger, first and foremost, to the homeless. King County Public Health, because of the rats, the human waste, and other issues that existed in the area called the field, including people being shot and raped, we moved on that one first. But again, we offered people services. There's a group of people who are unwilling to take services, some because they're deeply addicted, and it'll take more than one time. So it's not an either-or situation. We're trying to take what is basically a middle way.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray is taking your questions now live, 206-543-5869. Mayor, will there be a time when tent camps and RVs and garbage and needles and crime will be so decreased that Seattleites will say, yeah, okay, finally, thank you. This is what we wanted.
So first of all, crime is actually, Seattle is one of the lowest crime rate cities in America, and crime has actually dropped. Chief O'Toole's given me the most recent statistics. I think
I should say on the subject of homelessness, do you feel like it's going to get to a point, and if so, when, of, oh, okay, it's gotten noticeably better, or do you think that this is the new normal?
In a country this rich, it simply can't be the new normal. What this reminds me of is when I was a young guy at the height of the AIDS-HIV crisis. There were a lot of great nonprofits doing a lot of great work individually, but people were still dying. It took a national effort to develop a national response that allowed people to live and get up and go to work and bring an epidemic down. I think we have great nonprofits and individuals who care. We have cities like Seattle stepped up during that crisis. San Francisco is doing Portland, which have far worse crises and homelessness than we do. But I can tell folks that this is not a Seattle problem. It requires a national solution. And if we just bang on each other, same thing happens in Portland. Everyone bangs on each other in Portland or San Francisco or LA, then we are not doing what progressives used to do. And that's build a national movement to help people who are desperately. You know, we have an eviction crisis in this country. We have the largest drug epidemic, according to the New York Times, in the history of this country. We can do a lot in Seattle. But we need to have a national agenda on the issue of housing affordability and addiction and mental health treatment.
You mentioned the idea of what progressives used to do, and you and I were talking about this in the green room before we went on. I talked to several Seattle homeowners who say some version of this. Mayor, you're asking, we're the good people. I'm a liberal. I vote yes for all kinds of things. And you're asking me to pay. I'm a homeowner. You want me to pay more. You want to add more housing, which makes my property values fall. You want the city to be denser than I like. What do I get all out of all this besides a warm, fuzzy feeling? Because I'm not feeling myself these days.
You've thrown in a lot of different issues in there. One is property values not decreasing in this city.
Okay.
Increasing more affordable housing in our urban villages, creating that density that we identified.
But we want property value. You want property values to decrease, right? I mean, that's part of the idea of adding.
I don't think any individual who bought a home wants their property value to decrease. I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is that we need to build more affordable housing in this city. And we focus on our urban villages, by the way, which is one of the best things that we can do for the environment, is to make sure that we build housing near our transit centers, near shops, near stores. And what I hear is there's just thousands and thousands of these people in this city who are looking for that opportunity to have that urban experience. Young people are not looking for the suburban track house with the car. They're looking to live in an urban environment. Our ability to concentrate that and not in our single family zones, despite the myths, helps the environment, helps affordable housing, brings transit to scale. I think that's the city and the values that this city's always been committed to. On the tax part, regrettably, we have regressive taxes. But on the other hand, when we have raised those taxes, we have made this a more equitable city. When we raised taxes by, and it was a 70% yes vote for pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds, we probably did the biggest thing we could do to get at the issue of race, because we know who kids who go to preschool, quality preschool, graduate on time, read a grade level on time, have a very different life experience regardless of their race. We made those investments because this city believes in equity, and the city will have the biggest accountability opportunity by voting yes or no in August.
Let's touch on some other questions for Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. Our phone number is 206-543-5869. You're proposing a soda tax. Council Member Shama Sawant was on this show the other day saying, yes, sugar's bad for us, but why not tax luxury goods if we can pick and choose? The stuff zillionaires use.
So again, it's our, I would encourage maybe the council member to run for the state legislature and where those things are decided. Again, we have a fairly limited number of options, and I would have to disagree with her on this one. Taxing something that we now know based on the studies, in the New York Times did a series at the end of last year, sugar is an incredibly dangerous substance. It's really bad for our children. We're focusing the small amount of money we'll raise on this, $16 million, on educational outcomes, focused particularly on the failure rates among African American and other children of color. Again, we know that kids who graduate from high school will have better health outcomes than those that don't. So we're using something that's bad for health, funding it into something we know actually improves the chances of people having a healthier life.
We have another call from Don in Lake Union. Don, what's your question for Seattle Mayor Ed Murray?
My question is that already being housed, formerly having been homeless, and moving into a nice facility, but it's not comparable for a person that's trying to not be on drugs. I'm asking, and I'm appreciative of everything he's doing, but there should be another avenue for people that are trying to move up from not only their homelessness, but away from the drug situation, so it's not right in front of their face.
Yeah. So if I thank you for that, and if I think I understand your question, let me give you an example of one of the organizations we partner with, Plymouth Housing. So some people need to be in housing with a lot of services, and that's what they provide. But then as people stabilize, they move them into even more independent housing that basically blends in with the rest of the community. So I think you make a very good point, and it's been the problem with our system. Not one thing fits everybody, and it's the ability to have individualized programs based on the need at where that person is progressing that'll make the difference.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, you've said if President Trump is going to defund sanctuary cities, quote, I am willing to lose every single penny. How many pennies do you think that's going to be?
So I think it's important to remember that we have a constitution that basically restricts the ability to use federal money punitively. We have court decisions that say you can't simply cut based on one area. In other words, there has to be a nexus. So let's say our police are not cooperating, as they are legally allowed not to do, with ICE. There would be a nexus to cutting the $2 or $3 million we get for policing, but not for many other programs. Now, the city's budget's roughly $5 billion a year. We get about $85 million in federal dollars. This hasn't exactly been 30 years of federal money expanding. It's been 30 years of federal money shrinking. But I think people in this city, and again, we're hearing that we're going to have housing money cut. I think people in this city are willing to hold our values and step up and find a way to make this work.
This might be the last question we have time for. Listener Suzanne writes about bike lanes on Dexter and Broadway and says, wouldn't parallel side streets have been better? Why does the city put bike lanes on already congested roads?
So I actually think you have a very interesting point. And I look at the situation on Broadway where we have cars and parking and bicycles and streetcars and light rail and, of course, pedestrians. I'm not sure that some of that shouldn't have been put on a parallel street. The thing I have asked since I've become mayor is for us to look at a way where we look at a corridor versus a street, meaning some things might move north and south on one street and other things on the next street. I think she has a very interesting point that we're trying to get better at.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, will you come back again soon and answer more of mine and listeners' questions?
Sure, love to.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, on the record, on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. Thanks for that, Mayor. Thank you for your questions. And we have more of the record coming up.